quiet on. Stories and studies of strange things by Lafcadio Hearn. The Story of Otay. A long time ago, in the town of Niigata in the province of Echizen, there lived a man called Nagao Chosei. Nagao was the son of a physician, and he was educated for his father's profession. At an early age, he had been betrothed to a girl called Otay, the daughter of one of his father's friends, and both families had agreed that the wedding should take place as soon as Nagao had finished his studies. But the health of Otay proved to be weak, and in her 15th year she was attacked by a fatal consumption. When she became aware that she must die, she sent for Nagao to bid him farewell. As he knelt at her bedside, she said to him,
"Nagao-sama, my betrothed, we were promised to each other from the time of our childhood, and we were to have been married at the end of this year. But now I am going to die. The gods know what is best for us. If I were able to live for some years longer, I could only continue to be a cause of trouble and grief for others. With this frail body, I could not be a good wife. And therefore, even to wish to live for your sake would be a very selfish wish. I am quite resigned to die, and I want you to promise that you will not grieve. Besides, I want to tell you that I think we shall meet again."
"Indeed, we shall meet again," Nagao answered earnestly. "And in that pure land there will be no pain of separation."
"Nay, nay," she responded softly. "I meant not the pure land. I believe that we are destined to meet again in this world, although I shall be buried tomorrow."
Nagao looked at her wonderingly and saw her smile at his wonder. She continued in her gentle, dreamy voice,
"Yes, I mean in this world, in your present life, Nagao-sama, providing indeed that you wish it. Only for this thing to happen, I must again be born a girl and grow up to womanhood. So you would have to wait 15, 16 years. That is a long time. But my promised husband, you are now only 19 years old."
Eager to soothe her dying moments, he answered tenderly,
"To wait for you, my betrothed, were no less a joy than a duty. We are pledged to each other for the time of 7 existences."
"But you doubt?" she questioned, watching his face.
"My dear one," he answered, "I doubt whether I should be able to know you in another body, under another name, unless you can tell me of a sign or token."
"That I cannot do," she said. "Only the gods and the Buddhas know how and where we shall meet. But I am sure, very, very sure, that if you be not unwilling to receive me, I shall be able to come back to you. Remember these words of mine."
She ceased to speak, and her eyes closed. She was dead. Nagao had been sincerely attached to Otay, and his grief was deep. He had a mortuary tablet made, inscribed with her zokumyo, and he placed the tablet in his butsudan and every day set offerings before it. He thought a great deal about the strange things that Otay had said to him just before her death, and in the hope of pleasing her spirit, he wrote a solemn promise to wed her if she could ever return to him in another body. This written promise he sealed with his seal and placed in the butsudan beside the mortuary tablet of Otay. Nevertheless, as Nagao was an only son, it was necessary that he should marry. He soon found himself obliged to yield to the wishes of his family and to accept a wife of his father's choosing. After his marriage, he continued to set offerings before the tablet of Otay, and he never failed to remember her with affection. But by degrees her image became dim to his memory, like a dream that is hard to recall, and the years went by. During those years many misfortunes came upon him. He lost his parents by death, then his wife and his only child, so that he found himself alone in the world. He abandoned his desolate home and set out upon a long journey in the hope of forgetting his sorrows. One day, in the course of his travels, he arrived at Ikao, a mountain village still famed for its thermal springs and for the beautiful scenery of its neighborhood. In the village inn in which he stopped, a young girl came to wait upon him, and at the first sight of her face, he felt his heart leap as it had never leapt before. So strangely did she resemble Ote that he pinched himself to make sure that he was not dreaming. As she went and came, bringing fire and food, arranging the chamber of the guest, her every attitude and motion revived in him some gracious memory of the girl to whom he had been pledged in his youth. He spoke to her, and she responded in a soft, clear voice of which the sweetness saddened him with the sadness of other days. Then, in great wonder, he questioned her, saying, "Elder sister, so much do you look like a person whom I knew long ago, that I was startled when you first entered this room. Pardon me, therefore, for asking, what is your native place, and what is your name?" Immediately, and in the unforgotten voice of the dead, she thus made answer, "My name is Ote, and you are Nagao Chosei of Echigo, my promised husband. 17 years ago I died in Niigata. Then you made in writing a promise to marry me if ever I could come back to this world in the body of a woman, and you sealed that written promise with your seal, and put it in the butsudan beside the tablet inscribed with my name, and therefore I came back." As she uttered these last words, she fell unconscious. Nagao married her, and the marriage was a happy one, but at no time afterwards could she remember what she had told him in answer to his question at Ikao. Neither could she remember anything of her previous existence. The recollection of her former birth, mysteriously kindled in the moment of that meeting, had again become obscured, and so thereafter remained.
This has been Tales of Old Japan, read to you by Clay Boutwell.